Hello there, we're in the Word House, House of the Rocky Nuhu. Understand that God does His things through His Word, and nothing beyond it. It's our privilege, therefore, to minister God's Word to you. And we believe that as you listen and live by these principles you're about to hear, your life will definitely be transformed. Listen and be blessed.
That being said, if you came to church with the Bible, can you pick it? Take it and turn with me to the book of Psalms, chapter 23, verse 6, which is our base scripture. And then we'll do a little bit of a long read. That's 1 Chronicles, chapter 29, 9 to 14. And then finally, James 1, verse 12. James 1, verse 12. Midi, I hope you have what I sent you. Do you have it? Media. All right, thank you, Rem. Can we celebrate the media? The guys behind the screen and technical. All right. Okay, so let's start with James chapter 1, verse 12. Is there an issue with the screen? James 1, 12. And it says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord had promised to them that love him." So there is a crown at the end of your trial, and it is what the Lord has promised. All right. The next one is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 9 to 14. He says, "Then the people rejoiced, for that they offered willingly." So they rejoiced, and because of they rejoiced, they offered willingly. "Because with perfect heart they offered willingly to the Lord, and David the king also rejoiced with great joy." Next verse. "Wherefore David blessed the Lord before all the congregation, and David said, Blessed be thou, Lord God of Israel, our Father, forever and ever." Next verse. "Thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all. Now, therefore, O God, we thank thee and praise thy glorious name." And finally, Psalms 23, verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The Lord bless the reading of His word in Jesus' name. All right, so this is empowerment service, yes, but it is also Thanksgiving. So the conversation today is going to move from, yes, it will be empowerment, but it will reference and focus on Thanksgiving. So from the two texts I read, both of them coming from one person, which is David, I'd like to pull out some key thoughts from the two texts. So I would take off from the long read, which is the one that was put down by the chronicler, and then I will land in the one which is the main text for the month, which is the Psalms 23, verse 6. Note, goodness and mercy are the characteristics of God. They are His nature. So that means that no goodness, no mercy, no God. That's the thought. That's what I want you to begin to conceptualize. If there's no goodness and there's no mercy, then there's no God. These are the attributes that makes Him God. So if you see goodness and you see mercy, then that means there is God. Hallelujah. All right. So I'd like to title my conversation today, very funny title, "Goodness and Mercy, Yes, but the two sheepdogs. Yeah, I got your attention. Goodness and mercy, the two sheepdogs. Sheep as in sheep, meh. Sheepdogs. All right. So let's start with the chronicler. Very long text. Okay, so what's happening there? David said, how can I dwell in a palace like this? Beautiful splendor. I mean, he looked at the goodness of God. He had checked his life, you know. Things, everything just seemed to be in place. And he said, how can I be staying in this plush environment? And the ark, my father doesn't have the God I serve, because he didn't have, he just had snippets of the revelation of his father. But the God, the awesomeness of God, the personality of God, represented by the ark, did not have a house. So he spoke to Prophet Nathan and he said, I would like to build a house. And God said, you are not going to build it because your hands are stained with blood. Blood, yeah. Of course, we know what the blood is. It wasn't the battles he fought. It was taking out Uriah. You understand? And then he said, but your son, Solomon, will build me a temple. And in that gratitude and excitement, he decided to set aside. He said, okay, I will set aside what will be used to build this temple. And God approved. And he provided. The details are enormous. You guys behind, I'm hearing you people. Hello. You're distracting me. I'm hearing you. Okay, so he now set aside silver, gold that will be used to build the temple. And when he did that, the verse 5 of that 29 brought up a very interesting text. He now said, who will join him in consecrating the service? So picture this. Pastor Ed, the angel over this house, is so excited about the goodness of God upon his life, and he decides to say, okay, I'm going to, which is what we're about to do, Thanksgiving, because he's going to lead, we'll follow. And he says, who will join me? And guess what? The list came out. We had the captains of the thousands. We had the princes. We had the elders in their numbers. They all willingly gave. And when they willingly gave, it touched the king's heart and he rejoiced. He was excited that these people have the same reverence I have for God. And he blessed the name of the Lord. And that's what you heard him read. And he now came down to a point. And he, after everything, that was when he now praised the name of God. That's verse 12. What's my point? You cannot praise without thanksgiving. Thanksgiving simply is to acknowledge what somebody has done for you, because it goes with thanks. So you cannot praise without thanksgiving. There is always something to offer. Hebrews 13, 15 and 16 puts it this way. It says you should offer sacrifice with the fruit of your lips. That's the least. But guess what? Verse 16 says, but to do good and to communicate, don't forget. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So it doesn't end with singing and praising. You must do what? Communicate. That means substance must leave you. You cannot praise without thanksgiving. See, today, we are going to praise, definitely. Starting from now, we'll praise. We'll offer thanks. But guys, just like that scripture said, do not forget to communicate. Substance must part. David gave us a literal example. They offered, and it was willingly. No cajoling. See, today, we are not even having any guests. Pastor is the one. It's purely about thanksgiving. And I don't need to tell, I don't need to remind, there's so many reasons for you to be thankful. For you to thank God. I saw something this morning that moved me in somebody's status. He said, not everybody rose with the sun this morning. The mere fact that you alone did, it is a blessing. See, don't take it for granted. See, okay, let me not get ahead. When I get to goodness and mercies, don't take it for granted. Don't take it for granted that you're seated here. I know people that can't sit the way you're sitting. I know people that cannot wee the way we normally wee. My own mother, a very strong woman since I've known her, she has always been the one carrying people. But I watched my mom this year. I saw her being helped. My mother, when they commenced treatment, we had to convince her to accept treatment because she could not see herself being wheeled around. You don't want to know. See, as you're all here now, you don't know. You don't want to know. Yes. So there's every reason. Don't tell me that you don't have a reason to thank God. Yeah, that transaction didn't go well the way you wanted it. And so, but you're still alive. I can give you 1,000 reasons why you should thank God that that transaction did not come. I have stood on this pulpit and testified about a transaction that didn't go well for me. Because that transaction, if I had entered into it, I would have learnt by force that man does not live by bread alone. By now, I probably would have lost my senses where I'm chasing transaction. Hallelujah. So there's 1,001 reasons for you to thank God. Hallelujah. All right. So now let's move to the main text. Psalms chapter 23, verse 6. First thing I want you to take out of that is the surely. But before you can get the surely, first of all, if you notice in that text, and Pastor Obioma did a very, very big expose on that on Wednesday. Get the tape. When he talked about crowd mentality. You see, this scripture is not for we. You don't see any we there. You know, we say it religiously. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of our lives. Hello? Did you see that on that scripture? Is there our there? Everything is personal. That's why when we tell you to say surely, we ask you to turn to a neighbor. So you are personalizing. David wrote, penned this psalm from a place of solitude. There was nobody with him, so he was alone. So if you want to capture the revelation, you have to personalize it. So that's why sometimes when we're ministering to you, we'll tell you, put your name there. It is personal. So it starts with surely. Surely. Hebrews chapter 6. I'm looking for the exact verse. It says, by two immutable things. When God wants to communicate something to the promise. Sorry, when he wants to communicate something to the heirs of promise, of their promise, he confirms it with an oath. That by two immutable. Immutable means it cannot be altered. It means it cannot be changed. But interestingly, immutable means cannot be transferred. So it cannot be moved from somebody to another person. It is fixed. And by those two immutable things, God cannot lie. If he said it, then he will do it. So when David said, surely, he had been convinced. So if you generalize, you probably will just get 10% of the revelation until you personalize it. And you check yourself out from the beginning of the year, from January, February, March, till date, you will be able to say, surely. And then the next thing he says, goodness and mercies shall follow me. Not us again. Me. So at this point, media, can you put the picture I sent to you guys on the screen so that it will be an illustration which we'll now use to discuss and then we'll carry to the end. Can you put that on the screen, please? You know, when I was talking, I told you the title is Two Sheepdogs. Now, the shepherds, we talk about sheep and the shepherd. But everybody takes away, if there's a key information, they are called the sheepdogs. You don't see a shepherd heading sheep without the dogs. Because the shepherd cannot cover the entire flock with his sight. So he needs the flock to be within sight. So they use dogs. They are called sheepdogs. Now, the one on the left is very friendly. Maybe we can call that one the goodness. But the one on the right seems fierce. We can call that one mercy. Interesting. That guy on the my right, its teeth is out. But notice, it's not directed at the sheep. It's directed at the wolf. Impending danger. It's not snarling at the sheep. It's snarling at the wolf. That is to harm the sheep. Notice also that it's not sheep in plural. There's one sheep. Notice also that there is a flock behind. They are together. But this guy seems to be falling out of place. One of the things these sheepdogs do is that they nip at the feet, the hoof or whatever of the sheep. That's a small bite. The target of that bite is to force it to go back into the head so it doesn't leave the place. Because at this rate, if this sheep continues going, that wolf has had a meal for that day. So they nip at it, they snap at it, and then there is a reason why they are doing that. And David closed with that. He said, "And I will dwell in the house of the Lord." The role of goodness and mercies that I want to bring out today is that it is to keep you in the house of the Lord. To dwell. To dwell. To dwell means to sit, to be established, to relax, to be comfortable. That's the reason why Christ never makes illustrations of the flock with goats. Because goats have horns. They think they can take care of themselves. So they are very, very stubborn. And that's why they are perfect prey for the wolf. Wolf have no problem taking out goats. It's very easy. Just the goat will always wander off. That's why goats don't move in herds. It's only sheep that move in herds. So it's to keep you within the house. Stay in the house. So the goodness and the mercies of God, which are his characteristics and his nature, are aimed at keeping you in the house of the Lord. So the goodness and the mercies you've received this year is aimed at keeping you in the house of the Lord, which its expression is house on the rock, word house. It's peculiar to you for this house. They are for other denominations, and denominations is not bad. The only place where denomination becomes a problem is where religion creeps into it. Because in biology, there's what they call differentiation. It is a modus of growth. You separate to grow. So there's no problem with denominations. But when you now start making it about you guys do this and we do this, you have moved it from kingdom to religion. So the reason why you have received goodness and mercies this year is so that you will remain in house on the rock, word house. So that when people are talking, you will say, God is also here. I am a beneficiary. Hallelujah. Which now brings me to the sheep. The sheep that is being shepherded by the two dogs. What does it now do? Notice it doesn't have horns, so it cannot defend himself. Also, notice in the picture that the dogs are ensuring that the shepherd has the sheep in sight. Notice also that the shepherd trusts the dogs to do their job. If you notice, the shepherd is not directly involved. It is the dogs that are working. But when it gets too hot for the dogs, you see that thing that the shepherd is holding? You will see it in action. And then it has a hook. It can also use the hook to pull the sheep back in place. So, what is the response of the sheep? Total dependence. And that's one of the reasons why you enjoy the goodness and the mercies of God. Sometimes, He allows you to go through the fire to show you that you need to depend on Him. If there's anything I learned in the past month, is to totally depend on God. I saw myself for once helpless. I was coming back to Enugu and I was in the airport. But before I traveled, I just had a premonition to just pray in tongues. I just had this urge. Normally I do that for fellowship. And then maybe I want to delve into insights. Not just like that. I just had it. So, and I was checking. I wasn't intending to fellowship per se. I was just about to travel. But this urge was enormous. So as I was praying in tongues, and I felt this peace, and I came to the airport. And I was sitting in the airport, and I saw my phone. My phone rang. And I saw my first son's number. I picked it because, you know, we're parents now. When your children call you from a distant location, the first thing that comes to your mind is not normally joy. Let me, I don't know, you share the same experience with me. Yeah? When your children call you from far distance, I'm just giving people expo. It's not going to be with excitement. You first of all go out with, I hope nothing has happened, before you settle. Then you will listen for the voice of the child at the other end. When you don't hear the voice of the child and the network cuts the line, come and see trouble. That was the place I was that day. The phone was just doing ka, 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 ka. And then I tried to, and the line cut again. I said, I'm finished. What is going on? In Nigeria, my kachi is in Nsukka, so there's nothing that didn't cross my mind. Then he called me. We were missing ourselves. I knew something was wrong. So I called him back, and eventually I got him. And he said the reason why I couldn't talk to him was because he was using his watch to talk to me. I said, ah, what's happening? He said, Daddy, I just had an accident. I said, what kind of a... He said, a bike hit him. I didn't say he was in a car. A bike hit him, unprotected, and lifted this boy in the air and threw him into the gutter. And he smashed his hands again, so we had to bring him back to come and do checkup. Between that time of the call till he came and he went to the hospital and we were certified that he was okay, there's no prayer I didn't pray. Meanwhile, I had prayed. I need you guys to understand the devil. It got to a point. If you were here on Wednesday, you noticed me talk about prayer, about spirit of fear. That's my experience. I was afraid. I was helpless. Because I saw for the first time that there was nothing I could do about that. This was a helpless situation beyond my control. But God did it. That's goodness and mercy. What did he do to me? He made me say, I'm not going anywhere. 2 days ago, I was talking to some people and I told them, at this point, I would rather die believing God than any other thing. I've gotten to that place. Because I have seen that there is nothing any of you can do about your situation. You just have to be like that sheep and trust God. So what does that sheep do? It depends. But there's something else that sheep does. Because he doesn't have horns, so he has nothing to offer except thanksgiving. To say thank you. To the three factors that are guiding him. The two sheep dogs and the shepherd.
A life of thanksgiving is what we are preaching today. Not just today. Yes, today we have an opportunity in time. That's Seka, history and period. Take advantage of it. And by all means, let's go all out blazing. Definitely. But I'm also preaching that you should live a life of thanksgiving. Every minute of your life, find an opportunity to thank God. Look for an opportunity to say thank you. Look for an opportunity to give in thanksgiving. Not just ordinary thanksgiving with mouths. Let there be a sacrifice. Let there be a sacrifice. A sacrifice. A sacrifice. Because when you do not thanks give, it is also an indication of the place of your faith. So it shows that you don't believe that God is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This thing is practical. This is the way it goes. So you can now understand why a man like David could pen down that and say, goodness and mercies will follow me. That sheep is not the one following the goodness. They are chasing him to ensure that he sits and dwells in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. So I'm done. I believe I've been able to touch you to see your thanksgiving as a tool that you can use to defeat the enemy. This year, early this year has been very trying. But I know that it's because it's God. And that is the reason why I'm always thankful. Early this year, my father almost died. In fact, he had died. I could negotiate for his life because I knew that my seed and my givings were speaking for me. Yeah, this is empowerment, so I'll be very open. Your seed and your giving speaks for you. There's what they call account. If your account is dry, your negotiation is also dry. When you step into the heavenly realms to negotiate for people and there's no account, it's called agency. You have a limit to what you can negotiate for. I negotiated for my father's life and I said he should come back, and he came back. I also did it for another person. His name is Destiny Ohaya, my classmate in Federal Government College, Medugwe. The machine was also beeping and I did so. My mother sometime this year fell down to a stroke, but we came out of it. My wife, one day her business, her products were coming back and they called us and they said that everything was destroyed, but we still came out of it. And finally, Kachi Dubim, who has just graduated, just waiting to do his defense, had an accident, but we came out of it. He allows these things to happen so that you will know that there is an unseen hand working for you. Hallelujah. So, this is empowerment, but the Thanksgiving has started now. So I'm going to make a call. If you're here, you want to do your thanksgiving now, because some of you will say, I'm not going to be around for second service and third service. Daddy, how are we going to do this? Are we going to beam? Is there an account? Okay. So they're going to beam the account on the screen. I'd like you to thanksgive this morning. Thanksgive. Not because of me. Absolutely, please, not because of me or any human being. But as I said earlier, personalize it. It's purely because of you, your relationship with God. You have looked and you have judged him faithful. I didn't say you know he's faithful as in gnosis, information. No, you have epignosis. You recognize, you have judged him faithful. It is from that place now that I want you to give. Give. Not for what you're going to get, no, but what you have already gotten. For what you have already gotten. When I saw that post this morning about rising with the sun, I said, what are we now rushing for now? What are we now rushing for? Running around? Some people have, I like the way James put it. He said something about trusting in the riches. And then he said something about God, the rich should be grateful that they are humbled, so that they will know that the riches of God's grace far exceeds material wealth. And in that James 12, that life that was promised is called eternal life. Eternal life is not when you go to heaven. You know, we used to think, I want to go to heaven so that I can have eternal life. It's not when you go to heaven. Eternal life starts here. So if eternal life starts here, that means it has its own perks. It has its own benefits. It will show itself in your endeavors. If your endeavors or your business is not showing the Zoe life, I question the eternal life you say you have. Hallelujah. That means as a believer and in this kingdom, there is no room for failure. Because eternal life is synonymous with success and excellence. Hallelujah. And that's what David meant when he said, goodness and mercies follow me. Because we believe on the Christ and his finished works, we receive the eternal life which is in him, which expresses itself in various dimensions that cannot even be penned down. Right from now to tomorrow, you will not be able to exhaust the dimensions of eternal life. So when these thoughts creep into your head, the only thing you can say is thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But just like the Hebrew author said, don't just only thank with the fruit of your lips. Back it with communications. Hallelujah. And God bless you.
We hope that you've been richly blessed by this message. For inquiries or to listen to more of Reverend Edwin Bayebo's messages, kindly log into www.hotrenugu.org/mp3. That is www.hotrenugu.org/mp3 to listen and or to download. Truly, the word works.